Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no-apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Separation of church and state. We often hear this phrase thrown around, and frequently today's passage is cited in that context. But what was Jesus really calling the Pharisees to? At the heart of the answer to the unanswerable question lies another question. Are we truly giving unto God what is God's? This convicting thought touches the heart of any who truly love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. So grab your Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 22, and join us as we hear Jesus say to us, "Render unto Caesar."
There's been a lot of talk lately about separation of church and state. I go onto Facebook, I have a lot of secular friends, I have a lot of friends who are not believers, and it occurs to me that the general consensus is that there needs to be a separation of church and state, and, you know, our scripture even bears it out, is what I'm told. I want to look at this scripture tonight from Matthew 22. Verses 15 to 22. See, there's this group of people in Jesus' time that they were on top. They had it, and they wanted to keep it. They were so convinced that they were the be-all, end-all authority on God's Word. Mistaking, of course, the fact that God is the authority on God's Word. But here comes this upstart, itinerant rabbi. Guy who is just barely 30. He's barely even old enough to serve as a rabbi. Prior to that, he was a carpenter in a little town called Nazareth. What in the world could this guy possibly have to say on the Word of God? What in the world? The Pharisees were the intellects of their day. They really thought they knew everything that there was to know about God's Word. And they made sure and taught other people everything that they knew. So when Jesus started walking around and he started gathering a following, people noticed there was something different about him. There was something about him that wasn't like the others. First of all, he didn't dress in fancy garb. He didn't wear all the trappings of the priest. He didn't shove his faith in everybody else's faces. He didn't wear the big phylactery on his forehead or his prayer block around his arm and preach and pray loudly in the street so everybody could hear him. He didn't make a show of giving. In fact, if anything, he really didn't have anything to give. He was a poor man. But there was something about him, and he connected with the people. Wherever he went, whoever he talked to, he connected with them, and the Pharisees hated him for it. And so every opportunity they could take, they wanted to make him look like a fool. They wanted to catch him so that the people would turn against him. This is Matthew 22. All the way back in chapter 12, they were already plotting to kill him. And here it is, 10 chapters later, they still haven't been able to do it. They don't quite know what to do. And now his gathering has gotten so big that they don't dare go against him because the people will rise up. So what do? They want to catch him in a logical argument. The Pharisees actually get together with people they don't like. The Herodians. Who are the Herodians? You see, the Pharisees didn't like the authority of Rome. But they wouldn't go as far as the zealots. The zealots would go as far as protesting by not paying their taxes. The Pharisees would at least do their duty to the state by paying their taxes, but they didn't like it. They didn't like Rome at all. The Herodians, on the other hand, they liked Rome. They thought Rome was awesome. That's why they were called the Herodians. They supported the king that Rome installed over that province, Herod. Herod was a Roman king. So the Pharisees actually teamed up with the Herodians. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, kind of thing. And so this is what he says. Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." They're buttering him up. They're flattering him. They're trying to get his guard down. "We come as friends. We just want to ask you a simple question." And what's that question? "Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" It's the imperial tax. The imperial tax is not a tax levied on Roman citizens, but on the subjects of the provinces that are under Rome. In other words, Romans don't pay that tax. Only the people who live in a province that has been conquered by Rome. In this case, Palestine. Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is that? Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. This is the word of God. A denarius, let's see the next slide here. A denarius, this is a denarius from Jesus' time. And the inscription on it says in Latin, "Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus." Son of the divine Augustus. This is the problem with the denarius. The fact is, they were in the temple when they approached Jesus. They said, "Is it lawful to pay taxes or not?" It's a yes-no question. Yes or no? Is it lawful to pay taxes? Yes or no? The truth is, the way they laid out the question, there was no correct answer. They probably thought long and hard about this question. They wanted to trap him, and they knew that no matter how he answered this question, he would be in the wrong to someone. If Jesus had said, "Yes, it is unlawful to pay taxes," well, that would have set off the Herodians, the ones who supported Rome. It also would have given the Roman authorities the right or the ammunition that they needed to persecute Jesus as an insurgent. "Well, this guy is like the zealots. He doesn't want to pay taxes. And he's telling his followers also, don't pay your taxes." If, on the other hand, Jesus had said, "Yes, it is lawful. And in fact, by Mosaic law, it is not unlawful to pay taxes to an authority." He says, if he says, "Yes, it is lawful to pay taxes," that would upset the Jews. The Jews don't want to pay taxes. They don't want to be under the rule of Caesar. And remember, a lot of people are saying that Jesus might just be the Messiah. And in their mind, the Messiah is a conquering hero. The Messiah is a person who is going to come in and get Rome out, restore Israel to its sovereign state, and we can once again become that Jewish nation that we were supposed to be. So if he says, yes, it is unlawful to pay taxes, that puts him in a bad place in Rome. If he says, no, it's not unlawful to pay taxes, that puts him in a bad place with the Jews. Either way, he either loses his following or he's arrested as an insurgent. It's a win-win for the Pharisees, right? But Jesus says, show me the coin. Show me the coin. The coin says, Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. It's an idol. It's an idol. Because the Caesars believed themselves to be gods. Tiberius Caesar, the son of the divine Augustus. It's kind of ironic, don't you think, that the Son of God is holding a coin declaring this man to be the Son of God. And he utters those words that we all know so well. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. He could have stopped there. He could have said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. The end. But he takes it one step further. Render unto God what is God's. Render unto God what is God's. In other words, you guys are so worried about getting me in a trap. Why don't you pay a little bit more attention to your relationship with your God and less on me? Render unto Caesar, he says, that which is Caesar's. And render unto God that which is God's. They came to him with a political question. Not a theological question. But he answered them both politically and theologically. And he answered them in a way that nobody could really get upset with him. Except for the Pharisees, because they just couldn't get him in a trap. They tried. This is what happens when you go up against the Son of God and try to trap him in a logical argument. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. What I want to think about today is, what is God's? What is God's that I should give to him? Well, Jesus himself said that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. That's what belongs to God. We belong to God. God made us. Just as much as he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into his nostrils, he made every one of us. He told Jeremiah the prophet, even before I knit you together in your mother's womb, I knew you and called to you. Even before I knit you together in your mother's womb. Render unto God what is God's. Everything that we have is God's. Yeah, the government's going to take their bite. You know, they certainly will. Is that really a bad thing? We talk about the separation of church and state. We talk about the whether it's lawful to pay taxes, you know. The church, even Christian leaders, they sit there and they say, but we are a Christian nation. Is there really any evidence to that? We can call ourselves a Christian nation. We could say that our forefathers were Christian. We could say that the Constitution was drafted on the principles of Christian theology. We could say that the founding fathers of this nation were all followers of Christ, which is true. Even Thomas Jefferson, who everybody holds up as the author of that simple phrase, the wall of separation, the wall of separation between church and state. I think if we were a Christian nation, it would look a lot different than it does. I mean, are we a Christian nation? Go to the movie theater. What's playing down there right now? Every once in a while, you know what? In the last year, we've seen a few movies come out that have like a biblical emphasis. A couple weeks ago, we showed that movie, God's Not Dead, right here. And it's a good movie. You know, it's got a good message. It doesn't do that well, you know. Left Behind, supposed to be this epic. It was a best-selling book series, you know. Millions of people bought those books. You know, I've got them all in my library. They tried to make a series. It was very low budget, you know, with Kirk Cameron. Now they're trying to reboot it, and he got Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage's movie, on its opening weekend, made $6.8 million, which is pretty good. But it got killed by the other movies that were in the theater that were not about God. So are we a Christian nation? If we were a Christian nation, would we be so ready to defend the right of a woman to kill the baby that's living inside of her? We get very upset if anybody decides they want to take that right away. If you were to say to someone, well, why don't we open it up to, I don't know, toddlers? Or how about if we just cap it at 1 year? You know, if she decides by the time that the child is 1 year old that she doesn't want the child anymore, we can just get rid of it. Nobody would take that. Nobody would accept that, right? But there's something about the fact that it's just a blob of tissue, is what they say. That's the argument. It's just a blob of tissue. But you know, the minute that egg is fertilized, it has all the components of a human being in it. Life begins when God says it begins. If we were a Christian nation, we wouldn't even be having that pro-life, pro-choice argument. If we were a Christian nation, would we allow youth sports to invade our Sunday mornings or our Sunday activities at all? I remember when I was a kid growing up, stores weren't even open on a Sunday. And now when a place isn't open on a Sunday, everybody thinks it's unusual. I had a friend of mine online said what he wants to do is buy up a whole lot of inventory from Chick-fil-A on Saturday nights and sell it on Sundays. I said, you're missing the point, you know? He said, we'll make millions. Nah, probably. Saw in the news today that the stores were going to open up at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving. Not even waiting for Black Friday anymore. Used to be it was Black Friday morning, then it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, then it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. Then last year, I think they opened up at midnight. Now they want to open up at 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving. What is going on with these people? Because they're serving the almighty dollar. Because we're really not a Christian nation. This is a nation that if you take a poll of every, when they do the census and they figure out, you know, what slot everybody puts themselves in, over 75% of the nation calls itself Christian. If that were the case, if that were really true, you know, our churches wouldn't be empty on Sunday morning. We wouldn't even have a debate about whether youth sports should happen on a Sunday or not. And I think there would be a lot more life-giving charities. The church, before the Industrial Revolution, the church used to take care of the poor a lot better than it does today. But that's just because since the Industrial Revolution, everything moved from the rural areas into the urban areas. And the church couldn't handle that, because the church stayed in the rural areas. That's who they were serving. And so with less poor to contend with, they had less to do. But you go into the inner city and there's poor all over the place that the church just couldn't do anything about. So the government stepped in. What are we doing as a nation? You know, we get all bent out of shape because somebody wants to take one nation under God out of our Pledge of Allegiance. Did you know that the original version of the Pledge of Allegiance did not even say under God? Did you know that it was written by a Baptist minister? And it didn't say under God. They added under God in the 1950s when we were in the middle of the Cold War with Russia. We get all bent out of shape over things that we don't even know the history of. And so when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they gave him this question, they thought they would trip him up. But he said to them, "Search your hearts. Search your hearts. What is important to you? Is this idolatrous coin in my hand so important to you that you don't want to give it back?" I mean, that's just a matter of property. It has Caesar's face on it. It belongs to him. Give it back to him. He's the one that you got it from. There's a lesson in that. If we get our money from our government and we return our money to the government, what are we returning to God that God provides to us? Pretty much everything that we have comes from God. And I really mean that. You know, we may go to a job and earn a living and be able to say, okay, you know, by the sweat of my brow, I have earned this paycheck. Well, who gave you the physical ability? Who gave you the intellect to know how to do that job? Who gave you the drive and determination? Who gave you the gifts and the talents that it takes to do that particular vocation? God said to Jeremiah, "Before I knit you together in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called to you." He does the same with us. Every single one of us. Our God is a big God. Our God is so big that He can have an individual relationship with every single one of 7 billion people on this planet. And His relationship with you is different than His relationship with you, and His relationship with you and with me and with you. He can have a different relationship with everybody. Have you ever noticed how whenever God meets someone in the pages of the Bible, every single time it's different? Why is that? Because we're all unique. We're all made in different ways. We all have different things about us. But every single one of them has been determined by God. We are made in His image. And we are made to be like Him. And we are called according to His purpose. So today, we will render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But let us never neglect to give to God what is God's. Let's pray. Lord God, You have given us so much. You have given us abilities and talents. And we use those talents, Lord, to glorify You. Help us to see the beauty of Your design in us. To know that we are called according to Your purpose. To know that we are Your people and that You are our God. You know, let us be loyal to the nation that we live in, but let us never, ever, ever turn our backs on You. You are our God, and You are forever. Nations will rise and fall, but You, O God, are forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.